So this morning's reading is from Genesis chapter 16, the first 16 verses, and you've got it printed on your sheet if you want to follow it. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Barbara. And now I'd like to invite Sophie to talk to us on that passage. Can I just say a quick prayer?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sophie's heart to speak to each one of us here this morning. We ask that you open our hearts and give us ears to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Great. Good morning. Shall I pop this up? It's so good to be here with you this morning. I'm normally with a lot younger crowd, but it's great to see the whole of the generations in the church. So really good to be with you this morning. And this is an absolutely fascinating piece of scripture, and I think probably slightly confusing for some of us. But I think it reveals something really amazing about the kindness and faithfulness of God, even in the midst of human error and a really difficult situation. But today, I want to ask you, who is your mother? That may be a really easy question for you to answer. You may have had an amazing mother that you've grown up with. You may have had a difficult relationship with your mother. Or you may have had incredible mother figures in your life. But I want to ask you, who is your mother? And we're told we inherit certain things from our mother, don't we? It might be your temperament. It might be, I know for me, it's my big mouth, not just in talking a lot, but I generally just have a very wide mouth, which my mother also shares. And also, unfortunately, baldness is inherited from our mother's line. So sorry about that for those of you who that comes from the maternal line. But we know that the way that we are parented dramatically impacts how we view the world, how we do relationships, how maybe we parent ourselves. And it also determines the way that we have likes and dislikes, maybe the career that we take in future, how we're educated. So many things are determined on how we have been parented. And I don't know if you've ever caught yourself saying, oh, I feel like my mother doing that. I know that I definitely do a lot of the time. Especially as I get older, I feel more and more like my own mother. And when St. Paul references this story in Galatians 4, he tells us that there are a couple of ways that we can live. We can live as children of the slave woman of Hagar, or we can live as children of the free woman, Sarai. But he adamantly tells us that as believers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. So I want to ask you again this morning, who is your mother? And as we take a look at these two women today, Hagar and Sarai, neither of them are perfect. Both of them have made mistakes in their own way, but both have been loved and cared for by the same Heavenly Father, even in the midst of a really sticky situation. And as we enter this story at chapter 16, we've just read in chapter 15 that God has reiterated his promise to Abraham. And it's the promise of many descendants. And we don't know exactly how long between that reiteration of the promise and of Hagar becoming pregnant. But we do know that at this point he had been waiting about 10 to 15 years from the original promise that God gave him. And it would actually be a total of about 25 to 30 years before Isaac was even born. And waiting is uncomfortable, isn't it? I know that I myself, if I'm ever waiting in the queue for a bus, I get so frustrated. I'm looking at my phone, when's the bus going to come? You know, tutting with everyone else in the queue. Or I don't know if you've ever experienced being hangry. So hangry is being hungry. When you get very hungry, you also get angry. So that's definitely something I experience. But as humans, we're not great at waiting, are we? We don't like to wait for things. But are there things that you are waiting on God for? Are there promises that maybe he's given you years ago that have not come to pass yet? Are you waiting for a loved one to come to know the Lord? Are you waiting for financial provision? Are you waiting for just some certainty for your future? Are you waiting for a relationship issue to be resolved? And the temptation is, isn't it, when we're waiting, that we want to take things into our own hands. We want to grasp hold of them and sort them out ourselves, because actually, a lot of the time, when we're waiting, we wonder if God's forgotten us. So maybe we actually interfere in that relationship. Maybe we struggle to get finance from somewhere. Maybe we try and push our views on someone because we want a certain result, when actually God is saying, let me sort this. And there's been a way through the centuries of Christianity, an ancient way of praying, which is a waiting prayer. And in this prayer, people often hold their hands out as a posture of openness, of trust, and of letting God work in their lives. But when we get tired of waiting and we take things into our own hands, we close our hands. And then God doesn't have access to those areas of our hearts and of our lives because we've closed them off from him and we've taken them into our own hands. And we enter this story at a point where Sarah and Abraham have taken things into their own hands. They've decided enough's enough. They're going to fix this problem themselves. So Sarah gives Abraham Hagar to sleep with to produce an heir. And I wonder, what have you got tired of waiting on God for? Where have you taken things into your own hands? And in Genesis and both in Galatians, St. Paul reminds us the slave woman will never share in the inheritance of the free woman's son. And we know that Ishmael was not the true heir, so he could never inherit all of the promises that God had for Isaac. And counterfeit answers can often come easily, can't they? But do we wait long enough for the real thing that God wants to give us? The answer that God wants to satisfy us with? Because counterfeit answers can never satisfy. And in a bit further on in Genesis 21, verses 1 to 2, it says this. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At that very time, God had promised him. And it's interesting that it says, at that very time that God had promised him. Because I don't remember reading through those chapters anywhere where God had said, it will happen by this date or this time. But I think what the scriptures are getting at here is that when God speaks, nothing can stop his promise from coming to pass. He knew exactly when he gave that promise, when the exact right time for Isaac to be born was. And nothing, not even Sarai and Hagar and Abraham's mistakes, could stop that from happening. And worldly wisdom is what caused Hagar to get pregnant. And we all know the fruit of worldly wisdom. It talks about it in James. So the fruit of worldly wisdom, of doing things our own way, the way that we think is logical, is jealousy. It says selfish ambition, discord, disconnection. And what do we see in this story? We see Sarai and Abraham arguing. We see Hagar and Sarai, the bitterness growing between them until Hagar leaves and runs away. Worldly solutions bring worldly results. But in contrast, the fruit of godly wisdom, James says that it's known for peace, for mercy, and for its good fruit. If Abraham and Sarai had enough courage to wait a little longer, who knows what different fruit there would have been from that decision? So are we trusting God's wisdom for our own lives are we trusting God's wisdom above our own reasoning, even when God's way doesn't always seem logical? So again, I want to ask you, who is your mother? And what does it actually look like to live as a child of the slave woman? And what does it look like to live as a child of the free woman? Because they're two very different ways to live. And the scripture reminds us again that at the beginning of God's relationship with man, We were always made for promise and covenant, and not for law and striving. In the chapter just before this, when God reiterates the promise to Abraham, he makes a covenant with him. He makes a loving promise to him, which came far, far before the law of Moses. And either everything that comes from God is a gift of grace, or nothing is. So who is your mother? How often do we live as children of the slave woman, grabbing at what we feel like we need, sensing a lack of peace, maybe a lack of justice, a lack of provision? And so we take matters into our own hands. Who else will look after us? We can sometimes feel alone in the world, that we have to fend for ourselves. But yet, we're not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman. And Jesus has opened a new and living way for God's children, a way to enter into his rest, to cease from striving, and a way to trust that God always has our best interests at heart, no matter how long the answers may seem to take. And no matter how good your parenting, the way that you have parented has been, or the way that your parents have parented you, we all need to be reparented by God. We all need to learn again and again that he is a trustworthy father. And Psalm 32, verse 8 says, God is speaking to us here. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. We're all born into this world, unfortunately, with a tendency to distrust as we grow up and as we have experiences that maybe mark our trust. Maybe we've had broken relationships. Maybe we've had people hurt us, difficult situations that might make it difficult for us to trust. And so we feel the need to take things into our own control. But what if God really does work all things for the good? What if his timing actually is perfect? And I want to share with you a testimony that I heard a few years ago that has marked me for life and is something that I often go back to when I am struggling to trust God's timing in my own life. So let me read this to you. Before they were married, an American couple dreamed together about what their child would be like. As they chatted, the man told his fiancée that when he was a boy, God had showed him a vision of his future daughter. She had long, dark black hair, golden skin, and brown eyes. He himself had blonde hair and fair features, and so he had always imagined that his future wife would have the same dark features. But it turned out that his fiancée also had blonde hair and blue eyes. However, when his fiancée asked him, "What did God say her name was?" and he responded, "Maria," his fiancée froze. That was the name God had given her also for their future daughter. The couple knew that God was in their relationship, and so they grew even more excited for their coming marriage and for their future family. But 10 years into the marriage, and the couple had still not conceived, not for want of trying. The wife began to grow angry and distanced herself from God and her husband. How could God be so cruel to give them this dream when there was no way of it ever happening. The husband felt their only choice was adoption. And finally, after years of conversations, they gave up their hopes of having Maria. Their trust in God in pieces, but they were desperate to parent a child. Soon the call came. There was an expecting mother who wanted to meet them. Nervously, they went to see her. As she opened the door, they were both stunned into silence. Before them stood a Latina-looking woman, dark black hair, deep brown eyes, and golden skin. As they spoke to her, their hope began to rise as she told them it was a girl she was carrying. And at last, the expecting mother asked them, "I have just one request." "Yes, anything," said the couple. "You must call her Maria." So who is your mother? As children of Sarah, we are not born to carry the weight of responsibility for sorting out our own lives. We're not born to strive. We have been born again as heirs of Christ to receive every blessing from our Heavenly Father. Sometimes it just takes a little waiting. And when it comes, it doesn't always look how we would imagine. Amen.